Today's reading comes from the letter of Paul to the people in Colossae, known as the letter to the Colossians, and chapter 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your soul on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all things such as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's word.
So we started the year with a message on being a new creation that Chris brought for us. We looked at love, how love is the foundation of all the other fruit of the Spirit. And then last week we looked at joy. And now today, peace. This week my peace was disturbed when Jurgen Klopp announced to the world that he is leaving at the end of the season. I didn't feel so peaceful. How does the world understand peace? How does the world understand peace? I've got a couple of slides to have a look at. If we put the first slide up. That's it. So, we have the hippie type of love, okay? Did anyone used to be a hippie? You know, laid back, and yeah, peace, man, peace. Another form of peace is when people like me can't speak. Now, I can talk for England. And since I'm married to Evelyn, I can talk for England and Poland. And when I don't speak, isn't that peaceful? I'm sure we all know people that you can't get a word in edgeways, okay? So some people think peace is the absence of someone talking. And then we have a library. Anyone like reading books here? Who likes reading their books? Libraries is the land of the shh. No noise. Just peace. Just take a book and peaceful. And then we have in that bottom slide there, as you can see, two people very happy as people are leaving. It can be as they arrive. I've met many, many grandma and granddads that love their grandkids, but the one thing they always add is, at least I can give them back at the end of the day. Ah, that peace when they've gone. But then you've got to clear up the living room and of all toys and things. So there's a few things there on peace. We go to the next slide. Peace of mind. How many people here get really, really uptight and frustrated when it comes to car insurances, house insurances, and anything to do with things that you feel uncomfortable with, and yet your mind is always like, oh, have I done that? Have I done that? Have I gone to the bank? You want peace of mind where you just think, I'm going to just give it over and I don't have to worry about anything. Maybe if you're a couple, one of you does all the business end, and you just think, oh, do you know what, I don't understand it, but I'm pleased someone else can deal with that. As I think Ezekiel said, peace can also be somewhere beautiful, like someone sat on the beach. Anyone been on the beach and think, oh, this is the life. So peaceful, just the waves. Whoosh, whoosh. And then, of course, we have a picture there of an English soldier shaking hands with a German soldier as they have the armistice, where they bring and then peace is declared. And all around the world, we see there are wars and all sorts of things going on, and the world is wanting peace. But we may have different understandings of that. So these are different things regarding peace. How have you experienced peace? Do you remember a time when you felt immense peace? I wonder if you want to share with the person next to you an experience that you had of peace, if you're comfortable with that. Turn to the person next to you and just say one thing that you've experienced when it comes to peace. Okay. I think peace is something we can all agree that the world needs a lot more of. And if we're being honest, perhaps what we need is a lot more peace in our lives. So as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we are a new creation. And the Holy Spirit is producing in us God's characteristics, the nine fruit of the Spirit. So what is God like? Oh, God is loving. He's joyful. He's peaceful. He's gentle. He's kind. So if we are being transformed to be like Christ, we will have the same characteristics as we become more like Christ. Jesus, it is declared by Isaiah, is the Prince of Peace. Remember at Christmas time that verse in Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So if you are being transformed to be like Christ, and Christ is the Prince of Peace, then it is mathematically, you are going to be peaceful and have peace in your life. But it's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that you cannot get from the world. Peace is often a response of faith. Last week we talked about joy. Joy is often a response of hope. Why are you so happy? Well, because I know that I'm going somewhere better. As peace is, I have peace because I know that God is going to come through for me. I have peace because I know God has spoken to me and he's going to do exactly what he says. Peace is a response of faith. Joy is a response of hope. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 13 when we did love, and it has that verse 13 where it says, "And now the three things remain, faith, hope, and love. And of course, the greatest of these is love." So love, joy, peace are very much intertwined and some of the main fruit of a spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, of course, are in Galatians 5:22. What we read today in Colossians is almost like a mirror of that. Obviously, two letters that Paul wrote. We need to have a look then. What does Paul mean by peace? If we go to the next slide. Oh, before we go to the next slide, has anyone ever seen that slogan? I used to have a t-shirt with "No Jesus, no peace." If you know Jesus, you will know peace. But if you don't have Jesus, there will not be peace. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and we need him in our lives. If we go to the next one, the Greek word for peace, which is Irene. So does anyone know anyone called Irene? And of course we do, because Irene's part of the church. Her name means peace. That's the Greek word. Of course, the Hebrew word is shalom. But what do these words, peace, mean? Is it just talking about quietness, no noise, absence of war? No, it's a wholeness, a completeness in your life, tranquility of the soul. Okay, so it's not just a little bit of peace in my life here and a little piece of God wants you to be complete. Remember that last week I said that God doesn't do things in halves. So when he talks about life, I want to give you life in all its fullness. Joy, make my joy complete. Peace, I just want a little bit of peace in that area of your life. No, God wants your whole life to have a completeness of peace, tranquility of the soul, unaffected by outward influences. God loves you and me, but it's important that we have that supernatural peace in our lives. Okay, now, how many times do you think peace is mentioned in the New Testament? It's mentioned 88 times. And it appears in every letter and book in the New Testament. So peace is really important. And that supernatural peace is important. Now, one story that displays the peace that God gives comes from Acts 27. Do you remember the story where Paul, he's a prisoner, and he goes on the ship, and he tells people, I wouldn't go sailing today. There's going to be a storm. And they ignored him, and they took him on the ship, and they got to a storm. And that storm was called the Northeaster. The wind came like a hurricane. The ship was falling apart. They didn't listen to Paul. But Paul had that complete peace during that situation because God has spoken to him and said that he will come out of this alive. Paul had that peace during a storm, and he did survive, and everyone that listened to him had that peace too, because Paul knew that God had gave him his supernatural peace. Now, what about us and peace? God wants you and me to have peace with one another. Romans 12:18 says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We have this supernatural peace, this complete peace in our lives if we know Jesus. We need to display that peace, and we need to share that peace with one another. And that is to live at peace with everyone. That famous verse from the Sermon on the Mount, it says, blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall be called children of God. Now just take that for a moment. You'll be called a child of God if you are a peacemaker. Where else does it say that we're going to be a child of God? It says that in John 1:12, that those who receive Christ will become children of God. So if you are a child of God, we should be a peacemaker. That is part of being a child of God. We should be looking to be peacemakers, not just in church, but in our families. Not just in our families, but in our community and the world. The way of the world is revenge, vengeance, retribution, making the enemy pay. But in fact, Colossians 3:8 encourages us to get rid of anger, rage, malice, and slander. It's part of our earthly nature. And as Chris was preaching, we are a new creation. We need to get rid of the earthly side of our nature. Take off our old self. Put to death our old self. And let the peace of Christ rule. So what does it mean to let the peace of Christ rule? It's actually a term that comes from the athletic world. The peace is used in the same way as an umpire, a referee. When we let peace rule in our hearts, it is that peace that is able to look at what's going on in ourself and define, is that right or is it wrong? We want God to transform us. We need to take off our old self and put on our new self. It is a supernatural peace that God gives us. But we have this conflict every day. Someone cuts me up on the road, I want to beat my horn. I want to chase after them in my car and tell them how angry I am. But I need to put to death my old self and take on my new self. And actually, rage, malice is not part of that. It says we are one body, one church, and we are called for peace. What is God asking you to bring peace today in? How can you make peace today? Maybe it's someone in your family that you've had an argument with. Maybe it's someone that you haven't phoned for a long time. Maybe it's a friend who let you down and you feel anger, cross. No. God wants you to be a peacemaker. God wants you, even though it's hard, to make that first step. Jesus says in Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if you have an offering, a gift offering, and you have it at the altar, remember that your brother and sister has something against you. But you remember that you have something against your brother and sister. Leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So when you pray, when you want to worship God, and you know that things are not right with somebody, the urgency that Jesus says here is to just leave that and do something about that relationship. Make that relationship right. So, my first point is that God wants you and me to have peace with one another. If we go to the next slide, it should have the two. And the second thing is God wants you to have peace for yourself. Famous Psalm 23, has a picture, doesn't it, of the Lord is my shepherd, and he will lead me to quiet pools of fresh water. How many of us here feel burnt out? I know we joked about Jurgen Klopp. One of the things that why Jurgen Klopp is finishing is because he's burnt out. He relied on his own strength, his whatever. How many of us are just wanting a place, an oasis, a place of peace? Well, the Lord is our shepherd. He can lead us to those places of fresh water. We need peace for ourselves. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In Romans 15:13, Paul's prayer for the Romans, the church in Rome, is that they'll be filled with joy and peace. He says, "May the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace, and as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The way of this world is to be worried, troubled, and afraid. That is the instant reaction. How many times do I read in the news about we on the brink of World War III? Has anyone ever had a conversation? What is this world coming to? We're not in control. There's wars here. Everything's going bad. The way of the world, our old self, is to be worried about things, to be troubled and afraid. Our new self is to rely on that peace that God gives and trust in him. In my life, I have felt peace at various times. Coming here, God gave me peace. I knew this is where God wanted us as a family. And of course, there are times when things weren't certain, but there's a process to go through. But I knew God wanted us here, and there was a peace. When we went to Lincoln as a family, I knew God wanted us there. I was looking for a church that was looking to work with the Polish community, and the pastor of Lincoln Baptist was looking for youth worker that spoke Polish. It seemed an obvious match, but I knew that God wanted us there. And of course, there's all the things about, oh, is it going to happen? Are we going to move? But God brought me peace. The night I gave at Gillingham Football Club at under 18 level, I wanted to, at one point, be a professional footballer. God said, "No, I want you to train as a minister." And the day I gave it up, I gave a box of chocolates, cards. I knew it was the right thing to do. And God gave me this amazing peace. And I knew that I made the right decision. What do you need God's peace in at this moment? We need to just trust in him. Listen to what he's got to say. Now, there's a few things that can take our peace away. Maybe we've been Christians for many years. Some of us longer than others, but there are a few things that can take that peace away. One of those things that can take your peace away is sin. Okay? We live in a relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit is inside you, growing, the fruit of the Spirit. But you know what? Maybe there's some sin that we refuse to get rid of. Maybe there's a habit. Maybe there's an addiction. Maybe there's something we know we just don't want to give up. That can take your peace away. Because how can we be at peace with God if we know we're doing something wrong? Judas Iscariot, he betrayed Jesus. He didn't have peace, did he? In the end, he took his life. Peter, he denied Jesus. He denied that he knew Jesus. It played on his mind. And we know this because when Jesus met Peter on the beach, it was still something that was affecting him inside. Sin can take that peace away. So we need to repent and come before God and say, look, I want to live a life of wholeness, of your supernatural peace. I need to get rid of that thing that's taking my peace away. The other thing is worry. And I'm guilty very much of worrying. I worry. How many people have had a sleepless night because they can't stop worrying? Okay. There are loads and loads of verses about worry. 1 Peter 5:7, all these famous verses, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Okay? God doesn't want you to have sleepless nights. He doesn't want you to be anxious. Cast all your anxiety on him because he loves you and he cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And of course, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't worry. Tomorrow's got enough worries of its own. Look at the birds of the air. I look after them. I'll look after you. But it takes faith. If someone says, how can I have faith? Trust God. Because if we worry, it's like Peter. When Jesus says to Peter, come and walk on the water, Peter takes that step of faith, but then he starts to worry. He looks at the storm and he starts to sink. So don't let sin, don't let worry take away the peace that you have in Jesus. Fix your eyes on him and ask for his supernatural peace. God wants you to be peacemakers and bring peace to other people. And he wants peace for yourself in your life. Because our lives can be full of incidences. And we don't know what tomorrow will hold. But what I do know is God wants your life to be full of his peace. Some of us have had a difficult time in our life. We need God's peace to help us. That's how we can praise God when there's a storm. So some people, when we're going through a tough time, we can trust in Christ and we can have that peace as we worship him. We're going to listen to a song now called Praise You in the Storm. And it's a song about even though my life can be difficult, even though I'm surrounded by life-changing things, I can have peace and I can worship him and praise God through the storm. If we could listen to that song, that'd be great.